Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in Luke chapter 13. To state the obvious, our readings for today have all been about repentance. So we started with our Old Testament reading, the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel then has three main points that are three movements in his writings. The first of them has to do with prophets or with pastors. And God says, you know, when I give you my word to speak to the people, if you do not speak that word, I hold you responsible. I hold you responsible for their sinning because you've not told them. On the other hand, if you speak faithfully my word, well, then it's on them and it's not on you. It's a strong word to pastors, but also to us as a church, because we remember our theology about this. The gifts are given to the church. The word and the sacraments are given to the church, and the church entrusts them into the hands of the pastor to administer those on her behalf. And so there's a sense in which we all together are responsible to make sure that this word of God is indeed spoken and spoken truthfully. Second, then, a very important point for us to understand our God and who he is, that Ezekiel says that God does not desire the death of the sinner. God takes no pleasure in the judgment of the wicked. But rather, God delights when the wicked repent and return to him. You see, that's the way that we understand who our God is. That he is primarily a merciful God. Yes, God is a God of justice, and we will all be held accountable before him. And yet, if there is judgment unto death for us, God does not delight in that. But just the opposite. He delights in showing mercy to people as they repent. And then third, the righteousness of the righteous will not save them when they sin. Yeah, that's the Reformation principle, right? So the good things that we, even the righteous, do does not cancel out their sin. It doesn't make up for it. There's no kind of balance scales that we weigh as to whether we've done more good or more bad. That's not the way that it works. So the good things that we do not cover for our sin. But the other way it does work, that the wickedness of the wicked will indeed be forgiven when they repent. Again, we see God and understand him as a merciful God. The Reformation principle that we are, by grace we are saved through faith because of our Lord Jesus Christ. But repentance is an important part of all of this in our relationship with God. Then we come to our epistle reading for today. And it reminds us to mark well those Old Testament stories because they are given to us as examples. And we're doing that on our Wednesday nights as we look into the book of Exodus and we recount that story of God's people as they are being brought out of Egypt. And yet there are so many stories in Exodus that also mark their rebellion and their sinfulness against God. And Paul says, mark those things well. They are important stories for you to know. Mark and understand about their idolatry, their sin, their sexual immorality, their testing of God, and indeed their grumbling against him. Mark those stories well so that you understand them and that you do not desire that same kind of evil, that you might turn away from those things. And then finally, what the Apostle Paul says, repentance and humility, that they go together. Indeed, pride is the great enemy of repentance. So if you think that you stand, if you think that you are strong, take heed lest you fall. All of these readings then, even before we get to our gospel for today, show us the importance of repentance in our lives. In fact, it's quite clear that without repentance in our lives, it's pretty hard to be in a good and right relationship with God. In fact, we would say it is impossible to be in a right relationship with God without repentance. Which begs the question, what is repentance? Well, sometimes we look at repentance rather simplistically by saying that it is a response to the guilty feelings that we have after we have sinned. Right? Repentance is a response to the guilty feelings that we have after we have sinned. Well, okay. Yeah, that's in part what repentance is all about. But really just a small part. And it's far from the whole. And again, so if that's not what repentance is, then what really is repentance? We can take our cue from Martin Luther in the first of the 95 Theses, where he writes, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,' he willed the entire life of the believer to be of one of repentance." You hear what he's saying? Repentance is not just that occasional thing that you do when you feel guilty after you've sinned, but rather repentance is the whole of our life. It's our lifestyle, the way that we live. And so in explaining this, then Luther goes to the Latin translation of the word repentance, transmetamini, which means to assume another mind or feeling, or to recover one's senses, or to make a transition from one state of mind to the other, or to have a change of spirit. You see, change is a big part of that, changing from one thing into another. So again, repentance is not that temporary relief of a feeling that we have after we've done something wrong. It can be that, but it is far more. As Luther helps us to understand, it is this change of heart, change of our mind, change of the way that we live. It's a constant, you know, as Luther says, a constant turning away from that which is evil to the one who can make things right. This is what repentance is. And with that in mind, then, we can go to Jesus' words in our text for today, because he's talking again about repentance. But he talks about it in a very different way. And if we can keep that definition in mind, it can help us to understand what Jesus is saying. So he says two things to us. And first of all, he begins to address the tragic affairs of the events of this world. Right? A couple people come to him. In effect, they're saying, "Jesus, did you hear the news? Did you hear about those people whose blood was mingled with their sacrifices by Pilate? They took their life. They come down to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, and Pilate came in and he killed them, and their blood was mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Terrible tragedy. Did you hear about that, Jesus? Or, Jesus, did you hear about what happened in Siloam and how the tower fell on 18 people and killed them?" It's not so different than what we hear today as we turn on the news in the morning and we hear about a jet airliner that has gone down and crashed. or hurricane, or tsunami that has hit, or mass shooting that has happened. Tragic events. And yet, in our day, and as well as they were coming to Jesus, there was a question that was looming in the background, right? The question is always, why? Why did this happen to those people? What's going on? And you see, that's always what we want to do, is we want to somehow connect the dots from one to another. And we want to draw some kind of conclusion. We want to understand this chaos that is going on. Why are these things happening? And how does Jesus answer? Probably more important what he didn't say than even what he said. Notice that he doesn't try to answer that why question. He doesn't try to draw some kind of conclusion or inference from these things. He just doesn't even go there. But how does he answer then? He asks them a question. He says, well, you look at those events. What are you thinking when you see those things? Do you think that somehow those people are worse sinners than others because the tower fell on them? Do you think that somehow they are worse sinners because they lost their lives at the hand of Pilate than others? Is that what you're thinking? Is that the conclusion that you're drawing in your minds? And how does Jesus answer the question? No. Don't think that. Don't draw that conclusion. You can't. You can't draw that conclusion from looking at those events that have happened there. But what are we to do? What does Jesus say? But unless you repent, you too will perish. Whoa, wait, time out. What do you mean, me? It doesn't have anything to do with me. That was half a world away. It doesn't directly affect me. You know, what do you mean, unless I too repent? You see what we're getting at. If repentance is only our response to the guilty feelings that we have after we sin, this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But Jesus is teaching us that repentance is far bigger than that. Repentance is a turning away from evil to the one who can make a difference, who can make things right. And so how do we respond when we see these tragic events in the world? Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. We live in a broken world, a terrible world when things happen. Because of sin, not because of a particular sin, but because of the ruin of our world because of sin. Lord, have mercy upon us. And you see, even when it's something that happens a half a world away, we recognize our brokenness. We say, Lord, help us. And we're turning to the one who can make things right. This is what Jesus means by repentance. That brings us then to Jesus' parable about the fig tree. The fig tree deserves to be cut down, doesn't it? And it's been in there in the vineyard for a long time now. It's grown to maturity. It should be producing fruit. The owner comes every year looking for fruit, and he's not finding it. He says, cut it down. It's of no use whatsoever. The vine dresser says, well, you know, let's be patient. Give me a little bit more time. I'll dig around it. I'll put manure on it. I'll care for the tree. You know, maybe it will still bear fruit. If it does, great. If not, well, then we can cut it down. And what's the message? Again, about the mercy and the patience of our God in calling us to repentance, giving that time and that opportunity for us to do just what repentance is all about, to be turning away from the wickedness of this world and turning to God, the one who can make things right. It's a reminder, it's an encouragement to come to God in repentance. And it's because of his mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ that we can repent, that we don't need to be afraid to do that, to admit our weakness and our frailty and our faults, but rather to be able to turn to him. So again, repentance is not something we do just once in a while. It's not just what we do on Sunday mornings as we begin our service. It's a good thing to do, to rightly orientate ourselves to come to worship, that we do so in repentance and humility. But you see, it's not just something we do then. It's not just something that we do in our daily prayers. It's not just something that we do when we're feeling guilty. But rather, it's the entire life of the believer, day by day, minute by minute, where we are continually turning away from that which is evil and turning to the one who can make things right. In Jesus' name, amen.